Looking back on his family history, Herndon Inge realizes the advantages he and his relatives have benefited from were paid for by human bondage. He spoke with StoryCorps facilitators about this realization of white privilege his family refuses to acknowledge and how it has affected the way he practices law.
I readily admit that I'm a living example of white privilege in the American South. I must bear that guilt. Both of my father's great-grandparents owned other human beings as their slaves. So my father and I have spent our entire careers representing the small guy, mostly against the big guy or the bully. I often think what my life would be like if the stork had dropped me down the chimney of the house next door. My heart aches that the privileges that I now accept were started by white human beings owning black human beings. I'm ashamed. My family, my cousins, and my brothers don't want to hear about it. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to realize and admit that their advantages were paid for by human bondage.
So is it not something you can talk to your family about very easily?
I can't talk to my family about it very easily.
At all.
My older brother is very proud of his name and family, and he has what he calls the Inge Boys Night Out. And there are a bunch of us, three or four generations, and we all bring our sons to meet the other people that have the same last name. And I'm probably among all of these 30 people, I'm the only progressive Democrat. And they tolerate me and don't like me, don't agree with me, and are ashamed of me. But this year, I read the timeline of my family in the state of Alabama and expressed to some of the people there for the first time that directly my grandfather's grandmother and mother's family and father's family both owned slaves. They didn't want to hear my cousins didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to think about it. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to acknowledge it. I saw some interesting look from some of the teenagers that they had never heard it before.
But it's directly impacted the way that you practice law and
the way I live my life.
Yeah.
Practice my politics, my life, my just who I associate with, who I respect. And it weighs heavy on my heart. And I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
Can you give any specific examples from your law career or just from your personal life as to how you go about your day differently?
Well, my father started the volunteer lawyer program where people with legal problems bring them and the lawyers do the work for free. First class legal work for free. Whatever walks in. And I represented a guy one time and he was disabled and lives in a black community here in town. And he said that he had sewage backing up in his toilet and tub and overflowing on the floor and had been complaining to the city for 25 years. And so I said, the Constitution applies to you and applies to everybody. So I got this other lawyer who had handled flooding cases. And so he and I figured what it would take to sue the city for sewage overflows. And it turned out that the neighborhood was low elevation, but it was all black people, and the city fathers just didn't care. They had been notified for years, for decades, and so I bet I've represented 100 sewer cases, poor people. You know, whether they moved into a neighborhood they could only afford, which flooded or had sewer problems, or whether they were in the neighborhood and it had sewer problems that was not attended to. You know, I've written the laws on sewage cases. I'm cited all over the country for sewage cases. And, you know, the guy just came in and he said, I've got a problem and the Constitution should apply to me. And it does apply to him.
Yeah, because if the same case was happening in like an affluent neighborhood in Mobile, it would be a completely different situation.
Completely different
situation. It wouldn't have gone on for 25 years.
It wouldn't have gone on for a day.
These interviews were recorded at StoryCorps, StoryCorps.org, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday people. Excerpts were selected and produced by Alabama Public Radio and are sponsored by the Porch Band of Creek Indians.